Our catechism portion this evening is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism found on page 52 in the back of the Psalter hymnals. And looking at the fifth commandment, and that would be question and answer 104. So what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And then reading from the scriptures, two passages, first of all from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And then just a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 21, and reading verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the importance of the subject before us this evening is seen by the fact that when God's law turns its attention from that vertical relationship that we have with God and looks to the horizontal relationship, namely the relationship that we have with one another, the first subject that it addresses is the relationship of children to their parents. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 takes note of that. Not only that it's the first commandment, it's the first commandment with a promise. So clearly this commandment is of much importance. And we will see that, because it's like the world says in terms of education. I mean, they do kind of blow it up. But nevertheless, it's true. If we don't learn the basic things at school that we begin with, then we're not going to get far. Sometimes I teach a very basic math class at college. Pre-algebra, numbers, adding, subtracting, fractions. You'd think that students would know that by then, but some don't. And I always start out the class by saying, "This is the most important math class." And their kind of eyes roll, right? It's the first class, it's the most important. I said, because if you don't learn this class, you can't go any further. This is a foundational stone upon which everything else will be built. And in a sense, that's what this commandment is. If we don't learn obedience and submission and respect when we're children, in the environment of our parents' home, then from an earthly point of view, things don't look very well. The future doesn't look bright. And we see that in our society. Where family is breaking up, where respect and honor has left, where children do as they want, then soon it begins to show in the schools. Soon it begins to show in society. And then society laments the fact that we're so broken and there's no respect. And yet they never want to admit that this is where they've gone wrong. By weakening the family. By not having order. If we can't have order in our homes, we're not going to get order in society. It should not shock any of us that people riot in the streets and they do all those kinds of things. What homes did they learn that from? Obviously, they didn't. And so this commandment should not be passed over so quickly. And our children should take note that their development and their progress in terms of human beings, and of course beyond that, as children of God, children in the covenant, seeking to embrace all the wonderful privileges of the covenant. It's not going to happen if we are rebellious and stubborn and refuse to listen. If we don't listen to our parents, we're not going to listen to God either, whom we cannot see. So it's very important. And Proverbs speaks much about that. So not only do we appeal to our children, we appeal to parents. There's no more heavier burden that parents carry than stubborn and rebellious children. It's always on our minds. It's always on our hearts. And so the scriptures encourage parents to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. So this command is an important one and a very basic one upon which many of the others rely on. And by the way, children, notice that the scriptures addresses you. I mean, so much for this idea, as we were saying this morning, with the Arminians, that somehow God doesn't have a relationship with our children. That they have to wait until they come to faith, as it were. And only then that they have the relationship. And so they're not viewed really as part of the church. Well, what happens when they read this passage? Are they saying to their children, by the way, God isn't speaking to you until you come to faith? What is God saying in circumcision? What is God saying in baptism? He's communicating to our children. And the Apostle Paul does here in Ephesians. He's writing to this church that he set up, and there's a lot of issues in there, but he says, by the way, children, take note, God is speaking to you. No, as covenant children, God has words to say. God has instructions to give. And so this is the instruction that he gives. He says, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. And so first of all, why is that important? Why should we heed that? Well, precisely because God is saying it. I mean, whenever God speaks, we ought to listen, whether we're young or whether we're old. When Samuel was called, he didn't really know that. Maybe he wasn't instructed with that, I don't know. But God called him, and, you know, he gets up and he runs off to Eli. He says, "You called?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call." So he goes back to sleep, and God calls him again. And he gets up and runs to Eli again. Well, by the third time, the penny drops with Eli. After all, God spoke to him. And he says, oh, he said, well, go back. And then when he calls, say, "Here's your servant. Right? Your servant is ready to listen." Well, God speaks to you too, as covenant children. And he says to you, children, obey your parents. And so the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be mindful of that. It's not simply that we have children in the service, which they, of course they should. But at times we have to remind them that God is speaking to them. I mean, he's speaking to them whenever we preach the word. But in particular, when he says children, he's speaking to you. He always has interest in you. He's privileged you to be part of God's people, part of the covenant of God, for a purpose. He has a genuine interest in your well-being. After all, after 8 days, he called Abraham to circumcise his children so that they would understand that God is taking an interest in them. I will be a God to you and to your descendants after you. And so God addresses children. How important then for you to understand and to take note of that. And parents to impress that upon their children. That when we take them to church, we're not just dragging them somewhere and really we're not interested, we just want them there. No, no, no. God has an interest in you. And God wants to address you and guide you. And so we have it written in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, and of course in Exodus 20, and parents were told to sit with their children, to talk with their children, to remind the children every day that they are part and parcel of the covenant of God and that God guides them through his word. But not only the fact that God has addressed us deliberately in his word, he's also given us a warning. I mean, that's the way God emphasizes the importance of a command that he gives, just as he did to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. I don't want you to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by the way, in case you think that that's an off-the-cup remark that really isn't that important, I want you to understand the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. You will surely die. I'm sure that caught the attention of Adam and Eve. We will what? We're going to die if we do it? Is that important? Well, that's what God does for our children. We are to obey our parents. And as Paul, not only, of course, in the passage that I read from the Old Testament in terms of Deuteronomy chapter 21, but also in Ephesians. In two ways, the warning. One is in terms of blessing, the other one in terms of a curse. So he wants them to be obedient, that it may be well with them, and that they may live long on the earth. So if we don't live long on the earth, that means we live a short time on the earth. So consequences come. And we have that consequence clearly laid out in Deuteronomy 21. Here we have parents that have a stubborn child, stubborn son. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And they've spoken to him, but he doesn't care. He just continues to carry on in his ways. And so finally, what they're told? They're told to take him to the gate of the city, to the elders, and to tell them that he's a disobedient and stubborn son. And you might expect that they would say, look, we're going to fine you some money, or we're going to put you in jail. I mean, even that would shock us. But it doesn't say that, does it? It said, and they will stone him to death. If we take those words lightly, that you may live long on the earth, and we don't see the other side of it. In other words, the conclusion is you live short, that your life is taken. Well, it's spelled out clearly in the Old Testament. They were to be cut off from the people. And it was to serve as a warning to others. That's what it says in Deuteronomy at the end of that passage. When that happens, everyone takes note. Everyone is shocked. So what does it say? So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. All the children and youth are to take note. The God is serious about what he is saying. No, now it is worth, is it worth having God punish us? I mean, what is it that we get? What advantage do we secure when we are stubborn and rebellious and we don't listen to our parents? Is it worth what God says he will do? I hope not. I hope that you can see that that's not the way to go. Even the punishments our parents inflict upon us when we are disobedient is not worth it, is it? I mean, no discipline is pleasant. And so we have to ask ourselves, is it pleasant to be sitting in our room? Is it pleasant to miss supper? Is it pleasant to have some privileges taken away? It's not macho to be disobedient. I mean, that's the foolishness of the world. Stand up to all authority. Submit to no one. But another reason why we're to be obedient to our parents is because they are our first leaders. This is the first time we come into a relationship where someone has authority over us directly. And that's not an easy thing for any of us. We're all born in sin and iniquity. We're all born with a stubborn will that we want to do what we want to do. And so God puts us, in a sense, in a safe environment, where generally parents are patient with their children. Parents love their children with all of their heart. They have a vested interest. And it's a connection that happens as soon as the mother is pregnant. And certainly as soon as they see the child and they hold the child, there's that instant connection. They love them with all of their heart. There's nothing that they would withhold for the well-being of their child. These are the people that God places you so that you will be cared for and provided for, so that you may be taught how it is to act in that authority relationship. Because the world is full of those relationships. You will come into many, many relationships where you are to be submissive to somebody else. Whether it's the school, whether it's the workplace, whether it's society in terms of the police and the government, you will come up against many, many of those relationships. And if we don't learn to act accordingly, then we're going to get into more and more trouble. And so we could find ourselves not having a job. We're fired. We could find ourselves incarcerated because we don't obey the rules. Privileges taken away. Life ruined. Because we never learned to obey those that have authority over us. And so this command in the catechism isn't just restricted to mother and father. The catechism understands that it's broader than that. This is just a stepping stone. This is just a foundation. There's many other relationships. And that's why it adds, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper. And not only is the word given to you to be obedient, the word is given to the parents too, to help you. We're to train up our children in the fear of the Lord. We're to teach them that they are under authority, not only to them as parents, but they're going to be under authority to many others, but ultimately they're under authority to God himself. So as I say, if they can obey people that they can see, how will they obey and submit to God that they cannot see? And so this is really the kindergarten. This is where you learn the basics of life. And furthermore, these are your loving leaders. God is so kind and understanding, and so he begins slowly. What an easy arena we have. How hard is it to obey those who do everything for us at a great sacrifice? Why should it be hard for us to obey those that gave us birth? Those in terms of our mothers that carried us in the pregnancy with all the discomfort that that brings, and then to give birth, and then to take care of you when you can't do anything. You can't feed yourself. You can't move. You can't dress yourself. And day after day after day after day, they do it. And they get tired because they can't sleep. They can't sleep and let you be awake and do something else. They're fearful that you will get into trouble and hurt yourself. And so they have to stay awake and sleep, hopefully, when you sleep. They provide everything that you need. They don't count the cost. They put you first. They shower us with love and care. If you cannot obey them, who are you going to obey? I mean, we have animals that, because people care for them, they are submissive to those owners. And even though you would think, oh, you know, I wouldn't go near any animal, but there are some that really love animals, right? And you would say, well, why are they so docile with these people? I mean, generally they're dangerous. Because they've learned that these hands feed them. And they don't want to attack the hand that feeds them. So even animals have enough sense to know these people care for me. I'm not going to hurt them. So why should it be so difficult for children? When you have a house, a roof over your heads and you're provided clothes and toys and more than abundance, not the bare minimum, more than abundance, and they provide for you without any cost, shouldn't that make it easy for us to obey them? That we want to obey them? That we want to express our gratitude and thanks for all that they do for us day by day? And as the fathers go to work or mothers go to work and they earn a living so that they can provide for you all that you need? Can you see how shocking it is for children to be disobedient to these people, to the parents? So as I said, God starts as young because the heart is stubborn beyond what you can imagine. And we were shocked that the children would behave like that. But they do. Because that's the way their hearts are, apart from the gospel. That's the way the devil is, isn't he? I mean, he had everything. God gave him everything. He had such privileges and honor. You would think that he would be obedient to God and worship him and adore him, but no, what did he want? He wanted to be as God. That's where it comes from. That's where that rebellious spirit comes from the devil himself. And we imitate him when we stand against our parents. But you might say, but they don't always make good decisions. They're not reasonable. And we think we have a justification. Well, the Catechism certainly mentions that. And also that I may be patient with their failings. Why? Because through them, God chooses to rule us. Yes, God knows their failings. God knows that they're not perfect. But that doesn't mean that we don't obey them. Maybe they don't make the decisions that we would want. Maybe they don't make the decisions that other parents make for their children down the street or even in the same church. No, we're to understand their discretion. And we're to be patient with them. In the light of all that they do for you, in light of the love that they shower upon you, the sacrifices they make, surely we should give them that leeway. I mean, is that the relationship that we're going to have with God? We only obey him when we can see that it's right and we agree with it? Is that what it is? That's not faith. That's not trusting God. That's subjecting God to our evaluation. Now, when is it that we're going to learn to have faith in God, to trust him, even when we can't fathom those things out, even when we think it should be that way, and God says this, and we say, okay, Lord, I trust you. If we can't do it to our parents, how will we ever learn to do it in society and ultimately to do it to God himself? I mean, is that the way we want to raise our children and children to be? That we only obey the rules that the government puts in place that we agree with? And when we don't agree with them, we think, what a stupid and foolish government it is. And what silly decisions they've made and laws that they made. I'm not going to bother keeping that. We don't tell our children that. No, we're to be patient. It's not an easy job to rule a nation. It's not an easy job to make laws And so we have to be patient as citizens, and even as adults, we have to be patient with them. As long as they don't call us directly to break God's word, we're to be obedient. God is always our ultimate authority. Just like the disciples displayed when the Jewish leaders told them not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, well, you know, I mean, we want to be obedient, but tell us, should we obey the words of men or the words of God? You tell us. And of course, the answer is obvious. You obey God first and foremost. So when they tell us to do something contrary to God's law, then we are to refuse, humbly refuse, and take whatever consequences come. So yes, we're to obey our parents. In all authority structures, of course. A wife is to be submissive to her husband. Children are to be submissive to their parents. Members of the church are to be submissive to the elders. Until they tell us to do something that is directly contrary to the word of God. And then we say, no, we have to obey God rather than men. And as I say, whatever consequences follow, so be it. Yes, they are imperfect. But nevertheless, those are the means by which God has sought our well-being, to direct us, to guide us, to teach us how it is to live in this world. And we do well to heed the things that those avenues that God has provided for us. So parents have a lot of discretion, and we must respect them for it. Our parents weren't Christians, but we still had respect for them. We still obeyed them. It never occurred to us to say, my brother and myself and other children in the family later on, it never occurred to us to say, well, you know, our father is not a Christian, so really this command doesn't apply to us. We don't have to obey our parents. No, we most definitely did. And I'm sure that that was part and parcel of God's witness to him. To think, why am I being so harsh on my children for being Christians? What is it that they are, not that we were by any means perfect, but what is it that they are doing that is wrong? I mean, they obey me, they love me, they respect me, even though I'm hard on them with respect to Christianity. I'm sure that was part and parcel of God's testimony to him. And eventually, he became a Christian himself. And regretted it with all of his heart for the things that he had said and done to his children with respect to them being Christians. No, God uses the witness of his children. And so we are to be obedient. And they are warned, by the way, in Ephesians. Parents are warned, and especially fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. I care for these children. I don't want you to irritate them. I don't want you to abuse them in any way. So be careful. Look at the way I treat you as my servant. Do I boss you around? Do I kick you around? Do I insult you? Do I do all of those things to you? No. Well, don't do it to your children either. I'm the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. You be careful how you raise your children. Be gentle. Be kind. But not to the extent that you let them do whatever they want to do. No. No, guide them. Pray for them. Because ultimately, it's not your rules that are going to win the day. It's not as though if you're perfect parents, they're automatically going to be Christians. No. But you're to do your part. And we're to pray to God that he would grant them wisdom and change their hearts. And finally, because it's good for you. It's good for you to be obedient to your parents. First of all, because it avoids God's penalty. The commands are given to protect us so that we don't get into trouble. And so God has given this command so that you do not end up in trouble with your parents, or later on, as I said, with police or at work. And in the Old Testament, they could be put to death. That's why I read Deuteronomy chapter 21. If you don't think that this command is crucial and vital, then I hope that passage made it clear that it is. It's very important that you learn this lesson while you're young so that you don't get into trouble if we begin being disobedient to parents. As I said, we will most certainly be disobedient to people that have done nothing for us. People that we think we owe nothing to. I mean, if we acted that way to our parents, to whom we did owe everything, then anyone else doesn't stand a chance. And so we're hard-hearted. We stand tall with our chest stuck out. And we say, who are you to tell me to do anything? We don't realize that in all authority structures, God gives more power to those that have that authority in their hands. And so you're outmatched. And so you get into trouble in society. And as I said, finally, the authority that we're under is God's. And if we're so used to rebelling against society, authority, then when it comes to the gospel, we do the same thing. Or even if we do believe the gospel, because we do it, everyone else is doing it, in our Christian life, supposed Christian life, we still do what we want to do. We don't obey the Lord. We just do it when it serves our purpose. So in other words, it's not genuine faith. Parents, we do a great service to our children in teaching them and raising them in the fear of the Lord. And we mirror for them, in an imperfect way, I know, but we mirror for them the relationship that they have with God. That God provides for everything that we need. He gives us life. He takes care of us every step of the way. And we owe everything to him. And we're to love him with all of our hearts and show gratitude. And so when children learn that, it's a very large foundation stone that is laid for them to understand and appreciate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the warning that God gives in the Old Testament in terms of stoning, it is a sign of what ultimately will happen when we stick to this stubborn nature that we have and we stand tall and we refuse to listen to anyone. That's what it's going to be. Not simply stoning, but being excluded from God's presence for eternity. We don't want that to happen. We'd rather that you receive the blessings of God. We'd rather that you come into the full privileges of the covenant that are symbolized in the Old Testament anyway, in terms of being in the land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan, a symbol of God's church and God's kingdom. And so here, Moses warns the children that when they are stubborn, that they will be cut off from the land. They will not have long life on the earth in Canaan. That will be cut short. The privileges that they have will be removed. But what wonderful blessings to dwell in God's kingdom. Not simply in the earthly form as we have it in the Old Testament, but in the fulfilled form. The kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the household of God. What wonderful privileges we are surrounded with, and blessings, unnumbered blessings. And ultimately, of course, to be made wise unto salvation, to have God as our Father, and to have His Spirit testify to us that we're the children of God, and be given access to His throne of grace. What a blessing to live under His wings, to have Him protect us and provide for us and guide us all the way to glory itself. No, let us not be fooled into thinking that this is of not much significance. No, it prepares us for salvation. That's what Paul says to Timothy, that he'd been taught the scriptures from his grandmother and mother, these wonderful scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. But if we don't listen to our parents, and we don't want to hear when they want to read to us the scriptures, we don't want to go when they want to take us to church and to hear God's word and to see the gospel work in the lives of other people, in the good times and in the difficult times. In this last week, a number of weeks, our children have come to see that in the awful struggles of life, the painful times, that God's people can go forward with the faith that God has provided for them. Yes, we feel the hurt. We shed the tears. But nothing can destroy that faith that God has given to us. It's not just talk. And the Brand family isn't the only one that has come under such great stress and pain and suffering. We all have our stories. But we all testify that it's the Lord's strength and comfort that gives us a strength to go on and to praise and glorify God. Now that's the strength of the gospel. But it begins right there at home, just like kindergarten, teaching you the basics, little by little, precept upon precept, line after line. But I can assure you this, that if you obey the Lord, if you listen to Him while you're young, and you embrace Him with all of your heart, and you trust Him with all of your heart, and you do the things that He calls you to do, even though you are imperfect and you won't do them without fault, but if you do, and you look to Him and you pray to Him, He will make you wise unto salvation. And your life will indeed be blessed, not only for this life, but for eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you are so patient and kind to us, that you protect us, that you teach us patiently and slowly, even as you do now with us, even as adults. We have so much to learn, and you are so patient and loving and gracious to us. You forgive us time and time and time again. And our Father in heaven, we thank you that as children, you are equally patient. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed guard our children and that would use us as parents, as tools in your hands, loving and caring, but nevertheless, giving clear directions to the way of blessing, to the path that leads us to be wise unto salvation. Our Father, now we pray that you would indeed bless our church, bless the families, bless the parents, bless our children, and draw them to yourself. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals, number 227.